I appreciate you all putting one of these on this morning. I understand this isn't the first time that Bethel's had these on a Palm Sunday. In fact, Anna, I heard a story that you helped make some one year. Is that right? No? Oh, okay. Well, you're too young to remember. But palm crosses are a special thing. It's something that I grew up with, actually, and that's what made me think that it might be appropriate to do here at Bethel this year. Church I grew up in had these every Palm Sunday. And it would be something that a whole bunch of volunteers would come together and make. The church I grew up in had about 1,000 people in attendance, so we needed a lot of volunteers to come in before that Sunday and make a bunch of these. But Jessica and I took some time this week to make these. Took a palm frond from one of the palm trees right out here outside the church and made these for you. It's connected to Palm Sunday. I'm sure you know why, because it's made out of a palm frond. And you know the story of Palm Sunday, of how people cut off some palm branches and used them to wave in front of Jesus as he was coming into Jerusalem. It's a dramatic story, and I love it because I like to think that it would be easy for me to pretend that I was there. Imagine, if you will, just for a moment, that you were in this story this morning. Imagine being there at the scene. You're there with hundreds of people. Maybe you showed up a little early. Maybe you heard that Jesus was coming at noon, so you showed up at 6 in the morning just to get a good seat, kind of pushing your way through the crowd, finding a choice spot along the street so that when Jesus came by later that day, maybe you would be able to reach out and touch him. You've heard all about this Jesus. The stories about him have crisscrossed the countryside. You knew that Jesus was a miracle worker, but you heard that Jesus was also coming to be your king. And so you come early. You fight your way through the crowd. And the best way for you to share your joy about Jesus coming is to wave something. You think this is a new thing? But for ages, when people get excited, they wave things. I've had the privilege of going to a couple FSU football games, and it's amazing to me how sedate and relaxed the crowd is. Yeah. Now, when people are excited, they wave things. So you look across the stadium, and they're waving just about everything you could think of. Shirts and towels and FSU flags and styrofoam fingers and Dillard's bags and all sorts of other things that are all across the stadium. When people are excited, they wave things. Maybe you remember the Women's World Cup soccer tournament from a year or so ago. And it was great to watch the stadium because it was our home stadium and the women were playing, and you'd look across the stadium and all you would see are red, white, and blue flags waving everywhere because people were excited. And they waved things. Some people even waved their bodies. You'd see the wave going across the stadium a couple times. The people in Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday were no different. They were excited. And they wanted to wave something. What a sight it must have been. Would have been great to have been there. And what a feeling it must have been for Jesus. To ride into a crowd of supporters, to see them throwing their coats on the street for you to ride on, to see all the palm fronds waving, and to feel all of the love and the respect and the celebration. Must have been great for Jesus. But you know that the Palm Sunday story begins a tragedy as well as being a celebration story. Because you know that before things get better for Jesus, they get a whole lot worse. You know what happens next. Sunday is over, and then starts a sordid story of betrayal and controversy and scandal that would turn those very same people who were shouting Hosanna on Sunday to people who would shout Crucify Him on Friday morning. And ultimately, this story would cost Jesus his life. One by one, each of those palm-waving supporters would turn against Jesus before it's all said and done. It's a tragic story because as the week goes by, Jesus finds himself more and more alone, and people become more and more cut off from him. What starts out as a crowd of supporters on Sunday whittles down to a crowd of 12 on Wednesday. And then when Judas betrays him, it becomes a crowd of 12 to 11 on Thursday. And then on Thursday night, that crowd of 11 dwindles down to a crowd of 3, Peter, James, and John in the garden. And before the cock crows on Friday, that group of 3 becomes 1, Peter, who even himself falls away. Jesus the vine, with all sorts of branches on Sunday. One by one, those branches get lopped off. They get cut off, and then Jesus finds himself finally on the cross, all alone. It's kind of a sad story. I want to share with you something else that happened to Jessica and I this week in relation to these palm crosses. We were so excited about the possibility of making these things for you all, but it occurred to us that we didn't know how to make these things, so we found directions for how to make them on the internet. Wonderful tool. So we gathered the directions together, we cut the strips of the palm fronds to size, and we tried one, and it looked terrible. I mean, the thing fell apart. There was no way you all would wear these with any dignity, so we kept trying, and eventually we made one for the first time successfully. We got so excited that we made all 60 of them in about 30 minutes. I mean, it was just a wonderful thing. That was Monday. We were planning on spending the whole week to making these things because we didn't know how long it would take, but we wound up finishing them all on Monday, and that was a good thing. But we set them all in a basket, and we set them on the table, exposed to all of the dryness of the air and the temperature of the room, and something happened to those wonderful green, lush, crisp, fresh-looking palm crosses that we made on Monday. What happened was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Because between Monday and today, those wonderful, fresh-looking palm crosses turned into these fragile, frail, weak-looking things. I promise you, they looked a lot better than this on Monday. You can see that the edges are starting to curl, and the color isn't as green as they should have been, and maybe they've even shrunk a little bit. Last Thursday, Jessica and I started to get concerned. We thought, well, maybe these things will all fall apart. Maybe we should cut a new branch off the tree. Maybe we should start over so that what they get on Sunday is fresh looking. I mean, it only took us a little bit of time. We could do it in no time at all Saturday night. But then I started my sermon preparation and read the scripture for today where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit because apart from me, you can do nothing. What happens whenever you cut a branch off the tree? The branch eventually will die. Eventually it won't be as healthy and as fresh and as crisp looking as if it were still connected to the tree. And it occurs to me that these weak little crosses that we're wearing on our lapels today are not only a perfect symbol of Palm Sunday, but they are perfect symbols for the life of a Christian who no longer is connected to Jesus Christ. Because when we get cut off from the source of our life, when we get cut off from Jesus Christ, when we go our own way and walk our own wills, we become just like this cross. Not as crisp, not as fresh, not as connected, and not as nourished. Jessica and I should have known that when you cut a branch off the tree, eventually it'll die. The palm fronds lost their nourishment, but you know the tree is still perfectly healthy out there. It's going great guns, but these crosses could use some help. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. We all have moments when we feel deeply connected to Jesus. Those are good moments. Those are moments when we feel like waving those palm fronds because we know that Jesus and we are like this. but we know that there are moments like many of us are facing even right now, when spiritually we feel cut off from the source, branches pruned from the vine. Times get tough, struggles get harder, questions go greater, futures look bleaker, and more we feel separated and disappointed. Maybe some of you are frustrated like the people became with Jesus, like Jesus wasn't being all that we thought Jesus could be for us. Maybe Jesus isn't working the way we thought he should or in the timing that we thought appropriate. Maybe instead of following our own agenda, we wonder what's happening in the world and why God is following another agenda. And like the crowds on Palm Sunday, we can become cut off and spiritually disappointed with God. You need to hear the words one more time. Jesus is the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in Jesus will bear much fruit, because apart from him, you can do nothing. And what is the one way to get reconnected to Jesus? The theme of our Lent, through prayer. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is about reconnecting yourself to the source of life, to the one who created you, to the one who sustains you and has redeemed you. If you don't have prayer, you become weak and you become cut off. I want to share a story with you. This one is not of my own creation. It's something I received through an email. You'd be surprised the number of you who send me wonderful little email stories, and I appreciate every one. Maybe some of you are thinking, you know, that pastor could use some new illustrations, so maybe that's why you all send me these things. But I appreciate them, and I save them, and this time I'm going to actually use one. Something I got from a friend. So it's not only inspiring, it works for today too. What would it be like if you received a letter in the mail from a friend that went like this? What would it be like if the letter that you got was not only from a friend, but this letter was from God? It would read, "Dear, in your name. As you got up this morning, I watched you and hoped that you would talk to me, even if it was just for a few words, asking my opinion or thanking me for something good that happened in your life yesterday. But I noticed you were too busy trying to find the right outfit to put on and wear to work. So I waited again. Maybe you would talk to me. When you ran around the house getting ready, I knew there would be a few moments for you to stop and say hello. But you were too busy. At one point, you had to wait for 15 minutes with nothing to do except sit in a chair. Then I saw you spring to your feet. I thought you wanted to talk to me, but you ran to the phone instead and you called a friend. I watched as you went to work and I waited patiently all day long. With all your activities, I guess you were too busy to say anything to me. I noticed that before lunch you looked around. Maybe you felt too embarrassed to talk to me. That's why you didn't bow your head. You glanced over at three or four tables and you noticed some of your friends were talking to me briefly before they ate, but you didn't. That's all right. There's still more time left, and I have hope that you will talk to me, yet you went home and it seems as if you had lots of things to do. And after a few of them were done, you turned on the TV. I don't know if you like TV or not. Just about anything goes there, and you spend a lot of time each day in front of it, not thinking about anything, just enjoying the show. I waited patiently as you watched the TV and ate your meal, but again you didn't talk to me. By bedtime, I guess you were just too tired. After you said goodnight to your family, you plopped into bed and you fell asleep in no time. That's okay, because you may not realize that I'm always there for you. I've got patience more than you'll ever know. And I want to teach you how to be patient with others as well. I love you so much that I waited every day for a nod, a prayer, a thought, or just a thankful part of your heart. It's hard to have a one-sided conversation. Well, you're getting up again, and once again I will wait with nothing but love for you, hoping that today you'll give me some time. Have a nice day. Your friend, God. Brothers and sisters, stay connected to the vine. Take some time, no matter how little or no matter how much, to get reconnected to the one who loves you, who supports you, who wants to teach you, and is worthy of your conversation, more worthy than anybody else you see throughout your day. And just like on that very first Palm Sunday, when people shouted praises and hosannas to the King, take some time to praise Jesus today, even this week. Maybe as I invite you to the altar rail this morning, if you wish to come up, you'd like to spend some time talking to Jesus, talking to God, sharing your joys and your concerns, sharing your hosannas and your praises. God is worthy of your words. God is worthy of your time. Let's stay connected to the vine. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen. As Greg plays this morning some soft music, I invite you to be in prayer for these next moments, either there at your seat or to please come forward on this Palm Sunday to take a place here at the altar rail for some quiet time between you and God. Let us pray.